Well, good morning. For anyone who I don't know, I'm Emily. My first time coming to this church was a little over 2 years ago now. My boyfriend at the time had just decided to take a leave of absence from his job and take on the role as the interim youth pastor here. And so my first Sunday here was the Sunday that Jeff was announcing him as the interim youth pastor. And I told him before, I was like, I'll go and support you, like I'll come this Sunday, but just so you know, I'm not going to start coming to church there. I was going to church somewhere else, and I didn't want to, like, I wanted to keep my independence, and I didn't just want to start going to the church that my boyfriend was going to. But I never went back to that church after that first Sunday here, and I've been going here ever since. And a little over a year ago, my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, Chad and I got married right here, like a little over a year ago. So this is a really special place for us, and we're really excited to share with you today. So I'll be reading the story of David and Goliath, and it is a longer story, but it's a shorter message after. So I just encourage you to just let yourself enjoy the story. The Philistines gathered their forces for war at Socah in Judah. Then a champion named Goliath from Gath came out from the Philistine camp. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall and wore a bronze helmet and bronze scale armor that weighed 125 pounds. There was bronze armor on his shins, and a bronze javelin was slung between his shoulders. His spear shaft was like a weaver's beam, and the iron point of his spear weighed 15 pounds. In addition, a shield bearer was walking in front of him. He stood and shouted to the Israelite battle formations. "Why do you come out to line up in battle formation?" he asked them. "Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose one of your men and have him come down against me. If he wins in a fight against me and kills me, we will be your servants. But if I win against him and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel today. Send me a man so we can fight each other." When Saul and all Israel heard these words from the Philistine, they lost their courage and were terrified. Every morning and evening for 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand. One day Jesse had told his son David, "Take this half bushel of roasted grain along with these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Also take these 10 portions of cheese to the field commander. Check on the well-being of your brothers and bring a confirmation from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines." So David got up early in the morning, left the flock with someone to keep it, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had charged him. He arrived at the perimeter of the camp as the army was marching out to its battle formation, shouting their battle cry. Israel and the Philistines lined up in battle formation, facing each other. David left his supplies in the care of the quartermaster and ran to the battle line. When he arrived, he asked his brothers how they were. While he was speaking with them, suddenly the champion named Goliath, the Philistine from Gath, came forward from the Philistine battle line and shouted his usual words, which David heard. David said to Saul, "Don't let anyone be discouraged by him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." But Saul replied, "You can't go fight this Philistine. You're just a youth, and he's been a warrior since he was young." David answered Saul, "Your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, and rescued the lamb from its mouth. If it reared up against me, I would grab it by its fur, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." Then David said, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul had his own military clothes put on David. He had a bronze helmet put on David's head and had him put on armor. David strapped his sword on over the military clothes and tried to walk, but he was not used to them. "I can't walk in these," David said to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off. Instead, he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the pouch in his shepherd's bag. Then, with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. The Philistine came closer and closer to David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he despised him because he was just a youth, healthy and handsome. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come against me with sticks?" Then he cursed David by his gods. "Come here," the Philistine said to David, "and I'll give you your flesh to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of the armies, the God of the ranks of Israel. You have defied him. Today the Lord will hand you over to me. Today I'll strike you down, remove your head, and give the corpses of the Philistine camp to the birds of the sky and the wild creatures of the earth. Then all the world will know that Israel has a God, and this whole assembly will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves us, for the battle is the Lord's. He will hand you over to us." When the Philistine started forward to attack him, David ran quickly to the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in the bag, took out a stone, slung it, and hit the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground.
Thank you, Emily, for reading. Oh, good morning, everyone. I'm just so happy to be here today. I just love you guys so much and just love this church so much. I think this story of David and Goliath for me is something that I grew up hearing since I was a little kid. And if I'm honest, it's definitely something that over the years I've kind of glossed over just because I've heard it so much. But when I decided a few months ago that this is what I was going to speak on today, I just had a chance to wrestle with the scripture and let it challenge me. And I think there's just so much here than originally meets the eye in the story. What I'd like to do today together is to just observe a little bit the narrative of the story, and I'd like to point out a few of the interesting points and maybe even a few of the different points of the story that could challenge us, then hopefully relate it to our lives today. So in the story of David and Goliath, I think it's important to actually jump back one chapter, which is in 1 Samuel 16. And in that chapter, David is anointed by Samuel, who's a prophet. And it's not known publicly, but David is going to become the king of Israel. And in this chapter, it talks about the Spirit of the Lord coming upon David. Now, in the next chapter, in chapter 17, we read how the Philistines and the army of Israel are faced off against each other. And you have this champion, Goliath, who is essentially there not just taunting the army of Israel, but he's taunting God. And I think something important to note is in these cultures, they're ancient Near East honor cultures, and your word means everything in these cultures. And what Goliath is doing would be taken really seriously in that day. And he's, again, not just insulting Saul and his men, he's insulting God. And I think to even make the story come alive even a little more is earlier in Samuel we read that the Philistines had stolen the Ark of the Covenant, and God brings these plagues upon them, and because of the plagues, they end up returning the Ark of the Covenant. So the Philistines have some idea who God is. They know that Yahweh is the true God, and they know his power, yet Goliath is still standing there just in the face of God, insulting him. And the way the story is written in the culture, it's written for, I think, to show that the response of the men of Israel is even more shocking, and they do nothing about it. No one challenges Goliath. No one is willing to fight Goliath. And they essentially just stand there in fear. I think also worth noting, it's a little bit of a strange story where you have these two armies facing off against each other, and Goliath essentially offers to whoever wins, that will be the winning army. When you read history, that was actually something pretty common in that culture in that day. And although the outcome of that first battle is not usually honored, it was something done very commonly to have these two champions faced off against each other. Now, as David walks into the story, David is not some battle-hardened war veteran, and he's never even experienced combat. So he's a shepherd boy. He's fought lions, he's fought bears before, but he hasn't gone to war before. Yet he has this just unrelenting faith in God, and when he hears Goliath say what he says, he doesn't hesitate. He goes right to action, and he decides that he's going to go fight Goliath. And I think something really important to note in this story is God doesn't make a promise, or we don't read of God making a promise to Goliath that he's going to win the battle. God doesn't tell to David that David's going to win the battle, and God doesn't tell, at least that we read about to David, that everything's going to be okay. David just has this faith in God. And I think he sees something greater. I think because of God's Spirit being in David, he's able to see this truth. And he sees this cause that this enemy army is coming against God's people and God cares about them. And David is willing to make a stand for that. And we know where the story ends. David, with his humble sling and rocks, defeats Goliath and he stops Goliath dead in his tracks. Now, I'd like to relate some of these points to us today and then give a few examples. So we hear at the beginning of the story of the Spirit of the Lord being upon David. And as followers of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord is upon all of us. And I think why that is important is when we follow Christ, we have this ability to understand what Christ's heart is. We can understand what matters to Jesus, just like David was able to understand what matters to God. And because that, we know and we can take action on things. Now, I think something important and something that I kind of wrestled with trying to figure out is obviously none of us are going and physically facing a giant in battle, or at least that's very unlikely for any of us. And I think something in Scripture that helps us understand the story is as we read from the Old Testament to the New Testament and we read more Scripture, we're able to get a more and more full picture of God and understand more about who Jesus is. A few New Testament scriptures I'd like to share to help us understand this is James 1:27, which shares, "Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." And I think David was able to understand what God's heart was in that situation. And I think today, this verse shows God's heart for all of us. I think there's literal truth in that we should look after orphans and widows. And I think this also points us towards we should look out and we should care for those who can't care for themselves or don't have the ability to care for themselves or maybe are left out by society. Orphans and widows at that time weren't really looked after in society. Their society didn't do a good job in this. And Jesus has this heart to care for all. The second part, to keep oneself unstained from the world. I think we have this invitation as followers of Christ to turn to him and not turn to the things of the world in every situation we face. 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5 says, "Since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds, we demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. And I think that David, even though this verse was written thousands of years after David lived, I think he understood the heart behind this verse. In verse 45 in Samuel, David says, "You come against me a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel. You have defied him." And so David has this understanding that, yes, he knows how to use a sling, and yes, he might have some ability to fight, but he's still grossly outmatched in this fight. And he understands that his strength actually relies in Christ. And again, he's not guaranteed an outcome. He doesn't know what's going to happen. But David has seen truth. David has seen the reality of God. He's seen God's power, and he's experienced that. And because of that, he's empowered to take action. And I'd like just to share that, I think this is true for all of us. I think we could understand God's heart, and we're so often put in these different situations where we maybe have some type of ability or some type of tool to step out in a situation and serve God, but I think it's God's nature to not always make things a slam dunk for us, and for most of the time to not make things easy for us, to put us in situations where we're caused to step out for him in a way that may be uncomfortable, in a way that may be dangerous, in a way that may be risky. I think that's where real growth comes from. And I'd like to share a few examples that come to my mind when I think of just this radical faith in Christ and this confidence in him. The first is one of my good friends, Mike, who I've worked with for years as a firefighter. And he just has a love for Christ that is so obvious to me. And I've been in so many different situations with him where someone was placed in danger and he didn't hesitate. He jumped out and he took immediate action. And this didn't come It's obvious being around this individual that it doesn't come from an arrogance, but it comes from this love for Christ and this love for people. And I think when we have this love, and we have this understanding of truth, of the value God places in each person, we're able to take action in circumstances similar to how David took action for God against Goliath. The second example I'd like to share has to do with this concept of the weapons of warfare are not of the flesh. And I think this idea that we can step out for God and have faith in God applies to so many different circumstances in life. And I think my second example is so much different. Many of you may have known a man who went to this church for many years named John Eagle, who is a painter here in Laguna Beach and a huge influence in my life in a spiritual way. And John was a renowned painter, the owner of Studio 7 Gallery, and I spent many hours talking with him in his gallery, and God really used him to change my life in many ways. But the most important way was all the questions I asked him about painting, and I had this interest in painting. For all the time I spent with him, he never really showed me any technical skill, and he never really spent time focused on teaching me the physics of painting or these theories, but he was just so good at explaining and articulating how he saw Christ through painting. And what he explained to me in this really changed my life in the way of just understanding that the way we experience God as believers is not always this linear thing where we have a set of skills or abilities and it all relies on us, but that God can bless us, empower us through these supernatural ways. And I look at his life and the many paintings he gave to people and the love he shared with people, and it reminds me a lot of David and Goliath in the sense that John's faith was in Christ, not in his own skills or abilities, even though the skills and abilities were certainly there. I really hope that just walking away from reading the story together today, we can all just be encouraged that when we step out in action for God, we're invited to this place where we don't know the outcome. We don't know what may or may not happen. There's not always a guarantee, but we have the chance to become who God really has made us to be and to really grow and to really find value in life when we step out and do these things in faith. I'd like to leave us with just a few application questions before I close. And the first is this: where do you see an opportunity to step out in faith and take action? Maybe this is just speaking truth in a situation where no one else is speaking the truth. Maybe this is doing something that's risky or inconvenient to help someone else. Or maybe you've recently done this. Maybe you've stepped out in faith in a different situation, and maybe this is a good time for you to reflect on where you saw God in this and how God honored that. The second is, what tools has God given you to take action in the situation? When David faces off against Goliath, he acknowledges that he has tools. He acknowledges that he's fought bears and lions before, yet his faith is still in Christ, or his faith is still in God. And I think it's very important for us to be aware of the different gifts and the different abilities God has given us, so when it comes time to step out in faith and take action, we can do so. The last question is, what would it look like for you to address this situation with trust and confidence in Jesus? I would just like to close by saying again how thankful I am for each of you. And it's just my prayer that all of us can just experience Jesus in new ways and just experience his grace in new ways as we put our faith in him and are able to rest that he will empower us and strengthen us to do what he's put before us.